and welcome to another episode of Younger by the Minute. I'm one of your hosts, Jamie Spicer, and I'm here with
Jennifer Spicer.
And welcome to another episode. We're really excited about today's episode as we just were fortunate enough to go down to an A4M conference, an Age Management Preventative Health Conference in Miami, and we got to learn a lot.
Yeah, it's awesome. I always love going to these conferences, whether it be aesthetics or age management. It really helps get my creative juices brain going, and also it helps, like, it's such an honor and a privilege to be able to listen to other world-renowned physicians and nurse practitioners and people that are really doing the good work and really taking the time to educate so we all work together and so we better serve our patients.
I think you can agree, like, we always walk away with these little nuggets or what they call pearls, these little things that just that aha moments and things like, wow, that I can really take this back and apply this to XYZ client because they're having this exact symptom. But also, I think for us with precision, I think what we also heard was a lot of the stuff on the pathway that we've been going down solidifies that we are on the right path.
Yeah, and I have to give a lot of credit to the physicians and the people that we've been able and fortunate enough to surround ourselves with, Dr. Derek Da Silva and Dr. Rebecca Rodriguez. And I say Derek's name first because when I started just after graduating, he really took a lot of time to help educate me on the thyroid. And then as my knowledge has evolved and working with Dr. Rodriguez and with you, because you have an immense amount of knowledge, you actually were the first one to help me figure out reverse. You're the one that I still ask what the ratio needs to be with reverse T3 and T3, free T3. But it was really nice to know because as someone who I haven't had the regular quote unquote clinical experience, it's always been a very focused place or way of me working in my craft. And to know that we were doing things the way that other really reputable physicians were doing it was just really nice.
It is. It's tough because, you know, we have these conversations with our clients and of course they're going back to their primaries. And of course, if they're not up to date, up to par, in the know, whatever you want to go with that, we're having a difficult conversation. Like, why are we looking and doing things different? And then, you know, we just have to be honest. Sometimes, are we on the right path? Do we know what we know? And again, like I said, this was a huge aha moment. Yes, we've been doing it this way for a few years now. And I know that we're on the right trajectory to really help impact and educate people the way that they need to be to really make a change in their lifestyle and their health and continue that into teaching that down to their children and their spouses.
Yeah. And I think the other thing that I want to mention that makes me feel very blessed is the team that we have. Like I said, you, Dr. Rodriguez, Hannah, who also has her own thyroid story. I have my own thyroid story. And you really get to understand a condition when you have to experience it yourself. And then also we work so closely together on every patient. I'm literally talking to Dr. Rodriguez, who I can't think enough because she has her own patient load with her own practice, about patients. And we're talking through things and we get to have that camaraderie and really work together as professionals and peers. Because even if the science is what it is, even if the protocols are what they are, the one thing that I learned at a very young age when I worked for Dr. Gurley was that the human being is always the variable.
Yep.
So you can have what you think may be the answer, and it will sometimes just completely throw you for a loop. And it can get really frustrating because you do have someone's health in your responsibility. But that's where if you and the patient have a good trusting relationship and they're honest and you're honest and you work together, you can figure it out. Because at the end of the day, a doctor or a healthcare provider is meant to be someone that goes along the journey with you.
Yep.
And you're supposed to have a relationship together.
And you're 100% right. And, you know, in prepping people for shows, even working with the same people show after show, the variable was always the human body. Like, mm-hmm. We always have to adjust the nutrition based on what the body is doing. But going back into this, we've said thyroid a couple of times. So I think what's the topic we're going to be hitting here? It's going to be the thyroid.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people don't really understand how powerful it is and what its role is in the entire physiology of the body. And so we wanted to dig in because it's often diagnosed, not even detected, and in my opinion, mismanaged. If you're looking at mainstream medicine, and I don't want to just be general and say that all doctors don't know what they're doing. That's not it. It's just the science has evolved and the patients evolve. And if you don't dig deep, and it's not just even the serum levels, it's what the patient is experiencing plus the serum levels that needs to be taken into consideration when you make your plan.
And I would probably add into that, even was what I'm going to look here for, even like autoimmunes and stuff, like we have more autoimmune. So things like autoimmune that are impacting the thyroid in ways that we haven't seen have evolved.
And just to be clear, autoimmune means that the body starts to attack itself.
Correct.
And so we are having more incidences of autoimmune, like you said, and it's coming from somewhere. And we're going to dig into that too, because there is a lot more in people's control than I think they realize.
Yes.
And so I guess let me dig in first on what actually is the thyroid and how it works. So the thyroid secretes thyroid hormones, and that controls the speed at which your body's chemicals and function work. So basically your metabolism. They influence the metabolic rate in two ways. They stimulate every single cell and tissue in the body to produce proteins. And they also work by increasing the amount of oxygen that cells use.
And I know you're going to go down this a little bit, but what two hormones do they produce?
T4 and T3.
Correct. And correct me if I'm wrong here. I know the answer, but for the T4 converts into T3.
Yes. Basically, there is a little bit of T3 stimulation through TSH and then also the peripheral tissues. But yes, mostly is T4, and there's a big conversion that has to happen from T4 to T3.
Correct. Just to clarify that with everybody so people know when we're talking about the two hormones.
And I am going to read because I don't want to misspeak. So how it works is the hypothalamus, which is located just above the pituitary gland in the brain, it secretes thyrotropin-releasing hormone. This then causes the pituitary gland to produce thyroid-stimulating hormone, or TSH. And that does exactly what it sounds like. TSH, in turn, stimulates thyroid follicular cells to release thyroid hormones in the form of T3 and T4. T3, and I'm going to say this again, T3 is the active form of the thyroid hormone. And what that means is it's what's usable by the body. It's active. And I'll get into why that's very important and why I'm emphasizing that. But though it only represents a 20% of the released hormone, the majority of T3 comes from the peripheral conversion of T4 to T3. T4 constitutes more than 80% of the secreted hormone, so meaning TSH produces about 80% of T4. Again, T3 is the active form of the thyroid hormone. T4 has to convert to T3. When it's released into circulation in the forms of T3 through the process of deiodination, T4 and T3 can then exert negative feedback on the anterior pituitary with high levels of T4 and T3. So therefore, basically, it's a loop. Things go up, thyroid stimulating hormone decreases, things go down, thyroid stimulating hormone increases. And so primary thyroid disease refers to a list of problems arising from the thyroid gland, or secondary thyroid disease refers to central problems arising from the anterior pituitary that indirectly affects the thyroid. And you can have issues from hyperthyroidism, which is too much, to hypothyroidism. And we're going to really focus on hypothyroidism because it's, like I said earlier, it is the most prevalent disease in the U.S. and it's missed if your doctor isn't pulling a T3. And so where I want to explain that is when a doctor is only pulling TSH and T4, they're only getting a part of the snapshot by which I just explained.
So it's selective pulling at that point is what they're also taught at that point to pull.
Right. It is what they're taught. And they often thought, or they used to think that if the T3, I don't know what they used to think about the T3, but they would think that once the T3 goes low, the T4 is going to change and the TSH is going to change.
Right.
So basically T4 is going to bottom and TSH is going to continue to go up because your body's telling it to produce more and more TSH to get the thyroid up to speed. And that's not, once you start to show those signs, you've been in secondary hypothyroidism or subclinical hypothyroidism for a long period of time. And you will have signs and symptoms that you've been dealing with that we'll get into. And then also it can cause hormone imbalance, which we'll dig into. Right. But if you're only pulling those two numbers, you're not getting a full thyroid panel, and therefore it could be misdiagnosed.
So meaning you're not getting a full clinical picture.
Correct.
Of what is actually going on with the thyroid. So how can you then, we'll get into this, how can they properly prescribe the right medication or the right dosage if they're not getting the full clinical picture of what's truly going on with the thyroid?
That's where the problem lies, and that's where it comes into really trying to figure out. I don't want to freak a lot of people out, but even in the types of medications that they're prescribing. Okay, so levothyroxine and Synthroid are only T4. If you take that medication, you're only taking the hormone T4.
And I'm going to get into this a little bit, but I'm just going to say this now. There are medications, and remember, medications can be patented. And I'll say something about this later.
There are other medications on the market, like Armour or NP Thyroid, which actually contain T4 and T3. And then there is T3, straight T3, which is Cytomel, which you have to use very cautiously. Because the thing that also that we're going to get into, if you have a conversion issue, taking more T4 isn't going to fix the problem.
Nope.
Because you're having an issue with the conversion of T4 to T3.
It's sitting out there in limbo. What they're doing is they're just increasing a ratio, which we're going to go into, and it's sitting out in limbo. And actually what you'll probably end up happening is within a couple of days, you'll actually start feeling worse.
Yes.
And go back into Armour and the other
NP.
NP are both bioidentical hormones. And so with that, bioidentical hormones cannot be patented. Mm-hmm. I know there's one speaker that spoke at the A4M, talked about up until 1970, NP was the primary medication used, and TSH wasn't even a panel that was pulled until 1970, and that's when levothyroxine came to market.
Yeah, and the other thing, it's crazy, and now we're having some issues with another big conglomerate buying Armour, and so the price is going up.
Right.
The other thing I want to say is, in addition to T3 being the active form or the usable form by the body, it also doesn't affect the TSH. So as it drops, it's not going to signal the thyroid stimulating hormone to be more produced, just like T4 would.
Right.
When your T4 starts to change, that's when TSH starts to change. And there is an optimal range of T3,
correct,
specifically free T3, because the body can shunt it can convert T4 into free T3 or reverse T3. And we want it to go towards the free T3.
Right. And I'm going to bring this up. Remember, when we've talked about testosterone, we've always looked at total testosterone, when really we need to be looking at free testosterone. So here we are again. We really need to look at this free amount, because the free is the bioavailability of what's being used.
Yeah, like in way of testosterone, if it's free, it means it's unbound. When you
correct
have bound testosterone, it's also not active or available
correct
as much. And then I want to dig in. This is what we just learned a little bit of, is there's three types of thyroid deficiency. So type one is just the decreased production of thyroid hormones. Type two is the decreased conversion, which we talked about, of T3 to T4. And then type three is receptor site insufficiency, which I actually have had one patient with that. They don't really respond to thyroid medication.
Correct.
And you have to go through and dig in a little bit on that. As I said before, T3 doesn't affect the TSH, and it's also what's most usable. And I want to talk a little bit about reverse T3. I brought that up. Reverse T3, you'll start T3, because it's affecting your metabolism, and because it's active, T3 is going to rev the body up, yep, like an engine. There are times when the body's always smarter than us, where
right
it doesn't want to be revved up. It needs to be slowed down. And this happens in times where you're critically ill or chronically ill, if you've been chronically stressed. And this can even be by chronic dieting. If you've been too much of a caloric deficit, if you've been not eating enough carbohydrates, if you are a diabetic, anytime that the body's under stress, it can start to go down the reverse T3 route, which means that it's not active and not usable.
So you competitors out there that have been on these low caloric diets, 2-hour cardio sessions, this is an important number and range, these two things you need to be looking at. before you bounce from one show into the next show, I highly recommend you might want to get this panel pulled.
Well, and also I will say, if your physician is working with a bigger conglomerate, they may not have the ability to repull a reverse T3. That is a whole other topic, but I want to dig in. This is where the people that have been malnourished by way of Ozempic or Mounjaro, it doesn't have to just be chronic dieting. If you're not getting the nutrients that you need because you've been taking too much of something else, it will cause thyroid issues. It will impact the thyroid. And then when you have a low thyroid, they say, oh, my hair's falling out on or whatever. So it will go into the signs and symptoms that it causes. Additionally, when you have a low thyroid, because your metabolism is low, you start to gain weight. So some people, this was me, I just started to work out harder. I started to restrict my diet even more. Yeah. And it was the worst thing I could have possibly done.
And I just want to emphasize this, the reverse T3. I'm going to tell you how important this is. They're taught, doctors are taught to pull this number in the emergency room when someone's dying.
In the ICU.
Mm-hmm. If that number, when you think about this, if that panel, if that number, that ratio is important enough to figure out what's going on with that individual at that point in time, wouldn't you think it'd be just as important to pull it before they put you on a medication that's going to start altering your thyroid?
Yeah, I think it's a lot of not really understanding the pathophysiology.
Correct.
And understanding what the hormones do. Because when people were given Armour, and you'll be better remembering this study or the doctor that did it, when you're given too much thyroid, it revs your body up, which means you do start to feel very anxious. You can have heart palpitations. You can feel like you might have a heart attack. Mm-hmm. But you won't, this one doctor, tell them about that story. He did high dosages and no one died. He just kept dosing them up.
So, yeah, prior to 1970, he actually did a study. It was like 1,868 patients over a 20-year period of time before levothyroxine or Synthroid. And what he would do is he actually would have patients wake up in the morning, put a thermometer in their armpit, and hold it there for 10 minutes. And what he would do, he would measure them up by half a gram to a gram until they would have the heart palpitations on it. And then he'd back them back down. And not one person died by using it this way. This is before pulling blood work and any of that. There was a thermometer in the armpit. He's actually from Missouri. I'm going to have to look him up. I'll tag him in there, who he was. But it was very interesting to see. Not only that, but was very interesting to see was they showed a chart on the ranges of T3 in children. I'm going to want to say, I think it was up to 10 years old. The high side of T3 was 9.
Wow.
And they're telling us that our T3 as an adult is fine at 2.6, 2.8.
No, and I'll say the optimal range is above 3.5, specifically closer to 4. And it used to go to 4.9, and now it's cut off at 4.4. But, right. And I will say I've had too much thyroid, and you do feel terrible, and it is a concern. And if you do have issues, if you have other hormonal imbalances, you can be at risk for certain things. So you do want to make sure that you find the sweet spot for you. And that's going to be based on how you feel. And that's also going to be based on what the numbers say when they pull the serum thyroid levels. And also, Armour Thyroid, if you are taking Armour Thyroid, it has a very short half-life, which means it leaves the body pretty quickly in about 4 to 6 hours. So I have my patients take the medication about at least 4 hours prior to the draw. Otherwise, you're going to have a false high or a false low. So the timing of the medication is very important. And so for people that are taking thyroid, you definitely want to keep that into consideration. And by no means I'm in more of an infancy stage of my career when it comes to being a provider. And I've been working with the thyroid since 2020 with someone that I think is a thyroid expert. And then also with Dr. Rodriguez, who's truly just an expert in all sorts of in family care at all. But I have seen it be very prevalent that most people are in what I would call subclinical hypothyroidism, specifically the type 2 decreased conversion of T3 or T4 to T3. And I think the biggest issue with that is stress and what stress can do to the body and how stress can cause issues with decreased conversion. So, Jamie, do you want to dig into that a little bit on stress?
So you got to remember that the stress comes in multiple from multiple areas. It can come from food, from lack of eating. It can come from the type of food that you're eating, junk food, preservatives, or even sometimes you have a mild to a high intolerance to healthy foods, egg whites, sweet potatoes. You're over-exercising and you're not eating calorically enough to justify. Think about your V8 engine and you're trying to give it the gas of a four-cylinder. Like you got a little four-cylinder carburetor on a V8, you're starving it for fuel, so it's not going to run the way it is. So stress is going to then downregulate certain things within the body, and the thyroid is going to be one of them. We were talking about this earlier was you have, say, a younger female. We'll even maybe use a competitor at this point. She's extremely lean. She's on a very low caloric diet, and she's doing a high amount of cardio, and she's training because that's what it's taken to get into this show. And then you pull that number, that free T3 number, and let's say it is around that 2829. That's where we really want to test is like, what is influencing that down-regulated number? And can we support it by getting the food up and getting everything going? Or what will we want to take a look at that point?
Yeah, and I want to dig in a little bit more. It's never even mind what you're putting in your mouth and if it's toxic or not, and then how calorically restricted are you and how much body fat are you carrying? It's also, are you avoiding other environmental toxins? Are you making sure that your gut health and your gut microbiome are where it needs to be? And then also sleep. We are not getting adequate sleep. Yeah. And the other thing that's really important is exposure to blue light, you know, and just being connected to the phone. We're not meant to be connected to our devices day in and day out. And when we're looking at our phones chronically, if we hear the distractions going off, our bodies are having a very hard time keeping up with the demands that we're putting on it. And then if you add all those demands with a stressful job, running kids around, avoid like being around environmental toxins, not getting enough sleep, all of it, it's compounding and it's really affecting you on a physiological level.
And what are you watching on social media? Is it stressing the hell out? Because anything that's really putting through on social media is designed to create controversy, is designed to separate and everything else. So like, even pay attention to that while you're watching and scrolling through social media. Are you noticing that you're getting stressed out from that?
Yeah, because chronic stress can cause a variety of things. Like first, the HPA axis dysregulation, which chronic stress can cause issues with the thyroid hormone, thyroid stimulating hormone, and issues with conversion. It can also cause issues with cortisol production. It can cause an impairment of T4 to T3. It can cause immune system dysregulation, which is therefore going to cause autoimmune disorder issues. It also impacts thyroid hormone transport. And so those are the levels of the thyroid hormone binding globulin and other proteins that transport the thyroid hormones. And then it disrupts the feedback mechanisms that we were talking about before, so that everything has a feedback loop where something's going up and going down and the body is just trying to get to homeostasis. And that's all the body ever wants is homeostasis. And so to your point of what you're watching on TV or us being connected to the phones, that's not a part of what we were supposed to be. We're not supposed to be plugged in. We're supposed to be sleeping 7 to 9 hours. We're supposed to be eating nutrient-dense meals. And when we're stressed, we deplete of micronutrients. If we're not getting the food we need, we're getting depleted of micronutrients. And that brings me to another major issue with conversion besides stress, and that's micronutrient deficiency. So we need key micronutrients for the conversion. We talked about iodine. Iodine is a building block and a key ingredient of thyroid hormone. It also requires another micronutrient called selenium in order to be synthesized properly into thyroid hormone. One thing about iodine, we live here in the middle of the country, so we're not in the coastal regions. We're not breathing in iodine-infused air. We don't use table salt mostly anymore, so we're not getting iodine through our table salt. We're not eating enough seafood. A lot of the food is being stripped of the micronutrients that we need. Selenium, the thyroid has the highest concentration of selenium in the body. It's a big mineral that plays a key role in the thyroid's gland to produce thyroid hormone. And then lastly, zinc and copper are really big. And when you're stressed, you deplete yourself of zinc 100%.
Besides just the sun making you feel better when you're by the ocean and going down there, it's also the seawater, the salt, and the iodine in the air.
It is, because when you have an underactive thyroid, it will affect your mood negatively. Right. It'll make you depressed.
Right. So it's more than just the sun and the tequila shots and Cancun that's making you feel better.
I think people disconnect and they get more attuned to nature.
You're de-stressing.
Right. And then lastly, another thing that's really important, and there are other things, but genetics. There are a lot of people that have MTHFR. I am one of those people that have it. So is Jamie. And MTHFR is a gene that affects the activity of the enzymes it produces, and it decreases itself. We get a decreased level of methionine, and that's really important for methylation. And this can affect the conversion of T4 to T3 as well. So I would say people that have MTHFR, staying on a supplement that, like a thyroid total that Dr. DeSilva makes, that has selenium, zinc, and iodine in it, and just doing things that aren't going to further downregulate your conversion.
Remember, the people with MTHFR, and I would just say this with anybody, you got to make sure that you're detoxing very frequently. I've used analogies in the past. Remember, we have 7 different genes. Read that book, Dirty Genes, and I will reference that as, imagine if you had air filters in your house you never knew about and never changed it. Next thing, after months, you've started having like allergies. You've been having itchy skin and stuff like that. And somebody comes in and is like, when's the last time you changed your air filters? Or filthy. And you're like, what air filters? So that's the same thing. If you're not detoxing and cleaning those pathways, those genes, those filters are getting dirty. And the dirtier they get, the less that things can function the way you need to. So just remember, like, you need to go through that and detox the body and get everything working, especially if you have MTHFR.
Yes. I mean, if you have MTHFR, you're going to have other disruption in other ways because of what it does. And I think we need to do an episode on that.
Yep.
But since you're talking about cars, I want to ask you a question, and I might not ask it the right way, but I know you're going to know where I'm going. So say you go in and you have this car, you have a muscle car, and you want the engine to go, you want it to be perfect, whatever. I don't know. But then the mechanic puts this engine in, but doesn't want to check any of the oil. Would it work?
It ain't going to work long because the oil lubricates everything in the engine, and it won't be too long before it locks up.
So wouldn't you say that the thyroid is like oil to the engine when you're looking in regards to hormones?
I would say the thyroid, compared to an engine, I would say that the thyroid is more like the spark plug. It ignites the fuel in the body, in the engine. So for an engine to combust, to create, so it moves, you got to have air, fuel, and ignition, which comes from the spark plug. And then the compression makes the combustion in the cylinder, which is go. So the bigger block, the bigger cubic inch it needs. Or you could always say is the thyroid is like the thermostat in your house. If you're in a house at 60 degrees, you're not sweating. But let's say the house is at 50 degrees, you're really not sweating. It's cold. But if the house is at 90 degrees, you're sweating.
So let's just take a 50-year-old male that works out a lot, and he starts to feel fatigued, and he starts to feel like he's weak in the gym, and he starts to feel all these things. So he wants to go get on testosterone, and they just put him right on testosterone and they don't check the thyroid. I think it's completely a poor way and a poor approach. I was going to say something I can't say. It's just not the best way because you're only putting a Band-Aid on some of those symptoms.
Right.
And there are, when you look at risk versus benefits to how you're using testosterone and how much testosterone someone may need, it would be better to fix the thyroid and then see how the testosterone does, and therefore you may need less of a more risky medication.
And that's what I loved about being at this conference. So many, almost every, you got to fix the gut, you got to de-stress, fix the adrenals, you got to optimize the thyroid, then you start looking at hormones. And look, I know the argument. Put them on some hormones, they're going to start feeling better, they're going to go to the gym, and they're going to eat better. My ass.
I just talked to one of your clients last night before you intervened with her, before I could even do the lab review, and you started her on thyroid total, something for her adaptogens, for her stress, her chronic stress. It was 3 simple supplements, and within 1 week, she was already feeling better.
And already,
so don't tell me that you're not going to feel better.
And already tremendously looks better. Her stress, her water weight's come down. But going back to it, like, you got to look at it in that priority. Because the reality is this, if you look up the symptoms for a low thyroid and you look up the symptoms of low testosterone, they almost mimic each other.
Except for maybe decreased libido, but I'm sorry, if you're exhausted, your libido is going to be
decreased. Correct, because you ain't sleeping. So how do you know which one's which? And here's what I'm going to point out too, and this is, you got to think about this for a second. You're going to go to a hormone clinic. Or you're going to go to your doctor and talk to you about your hormones because you're not sure if you have low testosterone. You just know you're not feeling good and you want to see or rule out your hormones to see if that's a contributing factor to it. Again, I'm going to emphasize, you are going to a hormone clinic to see if they can optimize your hormones if they are low. yet they're not pulling two critical hormones, T3 and T4, to rule those out. It makes you really wonder, what are they really doing? Are they just treating symptoms, or are they treating causes? Are they treating the body as a whole? Are they talking to you about nutrition? Are they talking to you about sleep? Are they talking about stress management? Because that's part of the whole picture. It's not just go and selectively pick out the things that you want to spotlight a problem so you can go sell them testosterone, which is your main source of energy, income, sorry.
Well, let me paint a picture that, God forbid, doesn't happen, but may. If you keep just treating the symptoms and you're not digging in the root cause and you give a man, testosterone has bigger side effects than thyroid. Testosterone, if not used well, can have risks because it converts to estrogen. There's a special recipe. There's a special recipe in certain things that you must manage when you put someone on hormones, period. Right. And if you don't, that's malpractice. And that's where hormones get a bad rep. If they're on the wrong type of hormone, if the dosing is wrong, if they're not doing other things that need to be done in conjunction with it, that's where the risks mostly lie. And the coronary artery system is dependent of free T3 being optimal. And if the coronary artery system is not getting the free T3 and you have these symptoms, you're exhausted, you're tired, your strength, all these things, and it's been mistreated for low testosterone, and you have a coronary artery event, what's getting blamed? The testosterone. And what could have been missed? Like, that's where I need people to understand. If you're not looking at the body as a whole and taking in account all of the hormones when you're working with hormones, not just the sex hormones, you're not doing patients right, period.
And just like nutrition, it's not a one-size-fit-all program. 1 cc is not for every single person that walks through the door. You got to look at it all. I don't want to go down this rant of testosterone and HRT clinics, but I'm just going to repeat what I'm saying. If you're going to an HRT clinic that says that they specialize in optimizing your hormones, get you feeling and looking your best, and they're missing two critical ones, I really question, are they just treating your symptoms? And are they just taking your money?
Yeah. And to add on to that, if you're going to an OB and you have PCOS or you have issues with menstruation and other stuff, and they're not looking at you as a whole, you really need to dig in and you really need to advocate for yourself. Remember, you are the advocate. So just don't be afraid to ask questions and make sure that whatever you're being put on, you do the research, you dig in, you ask if there's other alternatives. It's okay to ask. If they act annoyed, then they're not the doctor for you, because this is your health. You're ultimately in control of it, and everything must be taken into consideration.
Yeah, you got to ask questions. You got to do some legwork and read and educate, because at the end of the day, it's your body, it's your health, it's your hormones. You got to start advocating for yourself a little bit more and be knowledgeable in what you're doing.
Absolutely. All right. So that concludes the first episode in our thyroid. We're going to dig into how the thyroid affects the way you look next.
So we appreciate you guys always tuning in. If you want to follow us at the Jamie Spicer and at the Jennifer Spicer and at Precision Life, we'd love to get you on there. Click. Love to see you following us. And if you need more information, you can call us at 314-786-5389, or you can email us at precisioninfo@precisionlife.io.
I think we missed our afternoon thyroid toast. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening, tuning in. I'm tapping out.